what's up, people? I'm Per from Scar Symmetry. You're listening to the Phantasm Podcast. Cheers.
Phantasm. Maximum terror.
That's your target audience, baby!
Phantasm.
And you know something? I sort of enjoyed it.
Phantasm.
Sell the metal! Sell the metal! Sell the metal! Sell the metal! Ah! Ah!
Hey, this is Dr. Vincent West, medical doctor with Phantasm Podcast. I've got a very special guest today. Wanted to chat with this guy for so long. We've got Per Nielsen, and he's going to be talking about the new Scar Symmetry album, The Singularity, Phase 2, Xenotaph? There you go. I'm already having trouble pronouncing again. But this record's incredible. It comes out June 9th, and dude, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome, Dr. West.
Very, very cool. This is so cool. This record's so awesome. To go way back, for our listeners that are not familiar with Scar Symmetry, can you talk a little bit about how the band came to be?
Wow, man, next year it's gonna be 20 years.
Wow.
Since we first got together. Yeah, well, me and our drummer Henrik, we used to have a band called Altered Eon.
Okay.
It was basically Henrik's band, like some sort of technical thrash metal. He wrote all of the songs, and we were old friends, so I joined on lead guitar. I had just come out of a long time away from the guitar because I suffered some repetitive strain injuries in my 20s, so
oh, wow.
I couldn't play guitar for 4 years. I came out of that and did a demo with Henrik's band, and we landed ourselves a record deal. So we found this studio like an hour away from where we lived, that we went there to record the album, and it was with Jonas Kjellgren, who was the original second guitar player, or first guitar player, depending how you see it,
right,
in Scar Symmetry. So yeah, so we recorded at his studio, and he was like, "Wow, you guys are the best guitar player and the best drummer I ever recorded. We should do something together." And that was like a decision that we made when we were drunk. as things in Sweden go, that's a pretty common thing for me and my friends. Like, we always like form new bands when we're drinking, like, "Oh, we should do something." And that was one of those drunken ideas that actually manifested into reality. So we got together in 04. Released our first album in 05, got picked up by Nuclear Blast for the second album that was released in 06, and then we've just been doing it ever since. Gone through some lineup changes, some that were bigger than others in certain ways, but every member change, every like change has been like transformative for us in different ways, but
sure.
It's like we just try to keep going onwards and upwards.
Right. Well, you have. I mean, I've been a fan since way back when. It's such a great catalog, and wow, 20 years. It's a long time.
Indeed.
Yeah. So for The Singularity, when did you guys start the writing process for this record?
Well, before we even wrote one single note or one single word, really, of lyrics for anything, for even the first phase, we came up with a synopsis.
Okay.
For the storyline that outlined what each part of the trilogy was going to be about. And that was back in 12 or 13.
Okay.
So from back then, I had a pretty good idea of what I wanted for each phase to be musically. And phase one, as people who have heard it know, it came out pretty melodic and progressive.
Sure.
And it's leaning more towards the melodic side of what Scar Symmetry is all about. And whereas this second phase is leaning more toward the dark and heavy, brutal death metal, that side of what we do.
Yes.
So this album was written, music and lyrics, in 16.
Okay.
All the principal recordings were done in 16 and 17. And then we sort of went on a semi-hiatus for a bunch of years due to different reasons. And we kept on working slowly on the album for a few years before finalizing it. So the actual writing process and the songs that came out, for me, for everyone listening to the album, with the singles now and the album soon, it's gonna seem new, of course, because they haven't heard it yet.
Sure.
But for us, the songs are already kind of old, and for me, they kind of belong to a different era of my life. They belong to the same kind of era of my life that Phase One was written in.
Right.
And so much has happened since with me touring with other bands. I became a dad in 19, and
congratulations.
Life stuff. Thanks, man. Just like a lot of life stuff. The pandemic that hits the entire world, and me buying my first house a couple of years ago. So
cool.
So, and I'm telling you this because I'm about to go into a new writing period to start writing for the next Scar Symmetry project.
Uh-huh.
So I have this perspective on it that phase one and phase two, in a way, are similar because they come out of a similar period of my life, and with all these things that have happened, and for all of us as we grow and get older, like priorities change and tastes change and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about, and also because these songs are now so old and I've heard them so many times, so they have had plenty of time to affect what I want to do going forward.
Right.
So I'm super excited about started writing again, and looking forward to the next chapter, because even if we now have this album coming out, I've been so close to it for such a long time that I'm super excited about the next step.
Sure. And you mentioned it's a trilogy, so you're now working on the third part of the trilogy.
What I'm thinking is that because I'm writing phase three is gonna be very intense.
Sure.
Because phase one and phase two, they have some things in common, but they are two kind of standalone albums in a lot of ways as well. I mean, they are connected by the storyline,
right,
and there are some music things, some themes that ties them together as well. But phase three is gonna need to really tie the thing together, and it needs to feel like it really closes the story and gives everyone closure and an appropriate end of the thing. So, and the way I work is that every time we work on a new album, it's gonna be a reaction to what we did last, and it's either gonna be continuing on the creative trajectory that we were on,
right,
or it's gonna be going in the opposite direction. it cannot stay exactly the same. So, and right now I'm like, I've been living with the Singularity Saga now for a long time. That I'm also, there's also other directions for Scar Symmetry that I would like to explore right now that I'm excited about, that maybe wouldn't necessarily fit on phase three.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna start writing. I'm just gonna start every day by grabbing my guitar or my keyboard or whatever, and just see what comes out, what excites me, instead of like forcing me to write what would be phase three. I'm just gonna see what comes out. I'm gonna make two folders in my computer, and one's gonna be phase three, the other one is gonna be not phase three, and I'll just have to see what folder gets full first, like what cup gets filled first, and
right.
then the fans will need to drink from that cup.
Yeah, that makes so. That's brilliant. So basically, if new stuff comes up, you can put the trilogy on hold and just go forward with a different Scar Symmetry record, as opposed to just forcing yourself to go into the third part of the trilogy.
Yeah, it's a possible scenario. I'm not sure that's what's going to end up being, but it's like I need to, for me to do this thing, I need to have fun, and I need to like fulfill what I want to do, so to speak.
Sure.
Because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. Because I can't work on something that I'm not feeling. I cannot do a good job if I do it like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then as far as the record, any standout tracks on the record you'd like to talk about?
I mean, when we decided to do a trilogy, I like immediately just realized that if we do a trilogy, like all the albums have been just separate entities where we just have written a bunch of songs, and it's become what it's become. It's just been like it's been what we have been at that point, the people in the band that has been writing.
Yes.
On the first few albums, it was me and Jonas who were the main songwriters, with Christian adding a lot of vocal arrangements. And then when Christian, we parted ways with him, it was all Jonas and me. We did all of the music, and then when Jonas left, it was only me.
Right.
Shit, I kind of lost track of where I was going. I've been doing interviews all day.
It's okay. I was just curious, because there's such a great variety of songs on the album. I just didn't know if there were some that you'd like to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks, man. So each album has just been whatever came out at that particular point in time. Whereas the trilogy, when we decided to do a trilogy, I knew from the get-go that each album was gonna need to go in its own direction, with phase one being melodic and progressive, phase two being more dark and heavy and brutal and still progressive, and phase three has its own thing that it needs to be. So which also meant that phase two we could go further in some directions than we've done before, than what seemed maybe even appropriate when we just did a one-off album. And that is like, on this album, we are exploring more things like blast beats and stuff like that.
Sure.
So there's like there's a bit more death metal and even like black metal on this album. And that was very, very exciting and fun. Because I think that it fits with the storyline, and I think it still sounds like Scar Symmetry. It's like we take in those kind of influences and make them our own.
Right.
So people have heard Scorch Quadrant, the first single, which has some pretty distinct black metal influences in the pre-chorus. And then we have Chrono Nautilus, the album opener, that's also a single, and it starts off where phase one ended with Technocalyptic Cybergeddon.
Right.
So it's, and that's like a blast beat song. The first part of Technocalyptic is like a blast beat thing. So this one also starts off with blast beats, and then it's a pretty intense song, and there's a melody line from Technocalyptic that appears in this song. So it kind of ties the two albums together, and also it shows off that more brutal thing that we are doing on this album. So I think, speaking of the blast beats, the song Altergeist is kind of different. I think it's track number 4.
Yeah, it is.
It's early on the it's early on the album, and it's like some of the heavier songs are during the first half of the album. It's like almost like it's like the face of the album, sound, that we put a lot of that stuff early on in the album. So that album, that song Altergeist, has like some really extreme drum beats. It's really relentless, and the riffs are almost like the kind of chord progressions. It's almost like movie score.
Oh yeah.
Or orchestral. So I don't know what kind of band I would compare it to, because it's not like I would try to sound like any other band or so, but it's definitely a bit of a detour from our usual kind of things we do.
I love it. I grew up, I'm a big Rush fan, so when I first heard you guys, but I'm a big death metal fan too, so I love that you guys just kind of jump into different themes and stuff. You were mentioning movie scores. I'm a huge movie guy. I love all different types of movies. So listening to big orchestral scores, and then this album has so much variety. And that's another thing I wanted to thank you for. I enjoy, and I felt weird asking you about specific songs, because honestly, as a fan of your band, I prefer to just listen to the whole record. And I love every time you guys drop a record, because it's so much fun to just take it all in and just listen, because I'm an album person, not a single person, so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's really nice to listen to albums that sort of were written to be enjoyed as albums.
Oh, yeah. I always felt like that's how your all stuff was. At least that's what it came across to me as a fan.
Yeah, and like the way I consume music, like if I go on Spotify, say that you and I would sit down, like a few beers, we open Spotify and you ask me to play my favorite music, it would be all over the place.
Nice.
And I would be like, oh, check out this old Morbid Angel track, and then I would go straight into a Toto song, and then we will listen to some jazz fusion, Alan Holdsworth, and then we would go into listening to some Hans Zimmer, and then we would go straight into Symphony X, and then
nice.
And it would go on like that, and I'm like, I listen to death metal, and I'm like, holy shit, this is energizing, and this is so epic and brutal, and it gets you pumped up. But then I'm like, I need some melody. I need to rinse my ears with something soft and nice, and then I listen to the latest Coldplay album.
Okay.
Really like that album, which is kind of very far from what we do, but they have some incredible, like, textures and melodies and stuff.
Very talented
and then
band.
And then I would go straight into something else, and that's what I feel like doing. I want to enjoy all these different flavors and emotions and stuff. So when I write my own music, and I'm really happy that we sort of did this early on with Scar Symmetry, even though the first album is a little bit more basic than we did later.
Sure.
We still allowed ourselves to do a little bit of whatever we wanted to. So it's very, there's so much freedom in writing for Scar Symmetry, because these beer soaked Spotify sessions that I'm talking about.
Yes.
That's what I tried for a Scar Symmetry album to be. I don't want to have to change to a different track. I just want to have everything in the song. I just want for the song parts to move from one thing to the other in the way that I think interests me and keeps my attention.
Sure. As far as the production on even the last album and the new album, is that all you doing that, or did y'all bring another producer in or a mixer, or did you handle all of that?
Well, on the albums before this last two, Jonas was the band's producer.
Okay.
Even though for each album I started participating more and more and eventually became credited as co-producer. So when Jonas left, I mean, we were so used to being self-produced, since a band member produced and we all could sort of be a part of it.
Right.
It felt really weird for me to bring in an outside producer. So I just decided, and I had been dabbling in production, both for Scar Symmetry and other bands, and I had done a fair bit of mixing and mastering myself, though I wasn't yet at Jonas' level, and I might not be now either, but that's a matter of opinion, I guess. But I just decided to, also for like creative purposes, I wanted to do it myself.
Right.
The music is so incredibly layered. There's so much stuff going on, and having to go by an outside producer, a mixer, to have someone else understand what I want, it just seemed like I just prefer to do it myself. So I could be super hands-on with everything, and I could be really, really detailed with what things I wanted to bring to the front of the mix. And so there's so much automating going on in the mix, like every time like the vocals drop out, some other instrument is pulled up into the mix to like fill the gap and bring some other important stuff out.
Right.
And I just really enjoy doing that, even though I'm not a super pro at mixing. It's really time consuming for me. As when I play guitar and I write songs, I can make all the decisions right away. When I write a song, I just write it and keep adding stuff, and I rarely take anything out or change anything, because I've done it so much and I'm so confident in it, I can just make the decisions right away.
Right.
What stuff is gonna, what's the keeper and what's not. I don't go back and rewrite the song later. It's just, and same thing with the guitar playing and the solo writing. I just come up with the stuff. But when I mix, it's a completely different thing, because I'm not as experienced at it. So like whenever I'm working on a thing, I'm like, this knob, I'm gonna turn this to the left. Oh, that didn't work. I turned it to the right.
Right.
Oh, that's better. And then, and it's harder for me to make decisions because I'm not as experienced. So the mixing thing is much more labor for me. It's also really fulfilling to be able to finish an album and having it sounding pretty good.
Oh yeah, I mean the production is incredible. Is it hard to do the track arrangements, or at this point you've done it so long, is it pretty easy to go through and put the songs together for the record? Like the track order?
The track order, I don't think that's difficult. Though this album I have arranged and rearranged a few times during this long process. I have sort of changed my mind about songs.
Right.
And sometimes it's been like songs that maybe didn't feel as strong, and then during the final mixing, suddenly they came to life a little bit more and sort of deserved a spot earlier on in the album.
Right.
Because it's like I feel like the strongest songs are in this at the first half of the album, and also the last song is very strong, but maybe the second to last or third to last, those couple of songs are maybe I think people are gonna enjoy them as well. I don't think they're bad songs, but they are more like deep cuts. Maybe not everyone will enjoy them as much as the other songs, but for sure some people will have those as their favorite songs. But
sure,
it's important to get the order of things going and also the way, I mean, we start the album with Chrono Nautilus because it ties together with Phase One perfectly, in my opinion. But also it's like the song being as brutal as it is, it just goes straight into blast beats. It's sort of like a declaration of what Phase Two is about.
Right.
It's just like a big slap in the face.
Right.
So yes, I wanted to have that song early on, and I also wanted the song Altergeist to be pretty early. It's track number 4. Yes, I wanted to have that one early since it's so brutal, that song as well.
I think that's my favorite track on the new album.
Oh shit, man.
Yeah, I really like that, and I love the title. It's just cool. But I like, for you, as far as like death metal stuff, were you more attracted to the European stuff now and even when you were younger, or were you interested in the stuff out of New York and Florida? The reason I suppose both. I'm a big Suffocation fan. To me, they're my favorite death metal band. Like, if somebody put a gun to my head, that's my favorite death metal band. So, and the European wise, I know a lot of people like Entombed. I was always attracted to, it's going to drive me crazy. And I got to see them a couple times. I'm older, but I'm trying to, God, why can I not think of that? Because they ask me, but not that I have anything against Entombed, but I was more attracted to, why can I not think of, and they're Swedish too, and I cannot think of their name to save my life right now.
Is it from that era?
It is, sir. Yeah, and I just drawn a blank right now, and they're literally my favorite European death metal band, and for whatever they're down to basically, I think, just the drummer's the only original member that's left in the band. And I love Sinister. That's another band that I liked from the back in the day. But that's not who I'm trying to think of, and it's going to drive me crazy. Obviously, I love Vader. They're from Poland, obviously. But who am I trying to think of? God, it's going to drive me crazy. I can't. They're a big one, too.
Is it a Swedish band?
I think so. They're Swedish or Finnish. I could have sworn they were Swedish, but I got to see them twice over here in the States back in the 90s, and I feel so silly right now. I can have totally brain farted and cannot think of who it is.
Well, back when the
Ever-Flowing Stream, I can't think of who that is. Why can I not think?
Dismember.
Love that band. I don't know if you were ever a fan of them. I always thought that band was so cool.
Yeah, I dug them back in the day. I haven't really heard them in a long, long while, but
yeah, they still do shows. I don't think they put records out. If they have put a record out, I didn't know about it because I would buy it. But
I think they disbanded for a long time.
Yep.
But like in recent year, they have come back and they are touring again.
Yeah,
like, with a lot of like the original members.
I always thought they were unique. I thought they were because Entombed to me. I mean, I love Left Hand Path, but then they kind of lost me on the Clandestine and so on, the whole death and roll thing. I just never was into that. But I thought Dismember was awesome. I always thought they were really cool.
Yeah. Well, me and Scar Symmetry drummer Henrik, we had a band back then when we were still teenagers, and it was the early 90s. Entombed and Dismember, they had become really big, and it was like almost felt like it was like almost an overnight thing.
Right.
That they said like death metal was super big.
Oh sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had our own band, sort of in the Stockholm tradition, I guess, maybe a little bit more progressive because of where we came from.
Sure.
Other influences. So we had a band called Adversary, and we recorded in the Sunlight Studio where all the Stockholm bands recorded.
Oh wow!
That was like the place that was famous for helping to do the Stockholm sound that with the HM2 pedal that made the guitar sound like
yeah.
Like
a chainsaw. Or
something. Yeah. So we did the demo there, and we actually had Matti, the vocalist from Dismember. He did some guest vocals on it. And
awesome.
It was really cool.
That's incredible.
We never made an album or anything. Even though we were pretty good actually.
Oh, I can imagine y'all could play that stuff. That's the thing. You're so talented. Everybody you all have ever had in the band, I feel, is so talented. Y'all could play basically any genre of metal, or probably and more.
Yeah. I really liked Death, though, the band Death.
I got to see them a lot. I saw the first time I saw them was Leprosy, because I'm from Florida. I used to live in mm-hmm. that area when I was younger. I'm in on the other side of Florida now, but. Saw Leprosy, saw Spiritual Healing, did not see Human. I never liked Human. Everybody loves that record. I was never into the whole tech death thing. But I love Individual Thought Patterns.
That was my favorite.
Oh, Human. It is. It's a lot of people's. He lost me. Yeah. With that. I'm more of the just kind of gore, kind of just straightforward, you know, chunky, grindy kind of stuff. People love Human. Gotcha. And musically, it's brilliant. It's one of those records that never gravitated towards me. I don't know why. And I'm into some progressive stuff in other music, but just not in death metal. I just never.
Yeah. Well, for me, during that time when I was, it was also during the time when I really was into guitar and
practicing. Oh, sure.
And like my life was all like was all guitar, and I had started listening to fusion music and really getting super diverse with my musical tastes. So hearing bands that played different sorts of metal, but they incorporated like progressive stuff and cool guitar parts. That was really something that was amazing to me at the time. So we had Death when they brought in with Sean Reinert and Paul Masvidal.
Oh, yeah.
From Cynic, and they did Human. That was really tickling my fancy.
Oh sure.
And also Cynic was really important. And then Meshuggah came along.
Oh yeah.
And they they were in the Pantera's sound, like there was some similarities in the sound, yep. But they used polymeters, polyrhythms, and fusion solos, and I thought that was so amazing that you could do these things in like a thrash metal, death metal sort of environment.
Oh yeah,
and get away with it. And I was not so much into the melodic death metal that happened just a little bit later with like At the Gates and bands like that.
Yeah, I wasn't into that either.
I think I had already moved on to other things.
Absolutely, yeah. It just was not for me. But thank you for doing this. I hope you have a great weekend. And kids, pick up the new Scar Symmetry album June 9th. It's incredible. Nuclear Blast Records. Dude, this has been an absolute honor for me. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to just sit and chat with me today. And I hope you have a great weekend. Well, yeah. And this has been awesome.
You're very welcome, man. It was a pleasure. And I hope to talk to you soon again when the next album is coming out. And it's not going to be 9 years.
And you know something? I sort of enjoyed it. Phantasm.